So I'm going to give you four signs. Here's the first of four signs. And if you're following along on the outline, this is obviously the first filling. Tell me when it's there.
Got it?
Got it? Okay, everybody say this word out loud.
Dip.
Okay, so in driving or in riding a bike, if you see a dip and you're smart about it, you'll hopefully slow down, experience the dip, and continue on. But what about when we come upon a dip in relationships? What about when we come upon a dip in our friendships, in our marriage relationships with our kids, which affects us for that day, that week, sometimes months? Because we have these in our lives. Some people in our lives rub us the wrong way. And if you had to mess up with a road sign, perhaps it would be dip. Okay? I was thinking of different people in my own life. The grandma who always asks if you gain weight in front of the entire family. Uh-huh. Been there. The neighbor whose dog bark is your daily alarm clock. Again, been there. You're raising your hand on that, aren't you? Yeah. Dip. That would be a dip. For those who work, the coworker who is the know-it-all or the person who's negative or maybe even divisive amongst the office. Dip. Okay. Maybe some of you might go, I live with a dip. Okay. right. So while it's easy to kind of point the finger at the dips that are around us, here's what I'm going to challenge us to do for just a moment. I want to pretend that you're holding up a mirror right in front of your own face. What do you see? You, right? I see me, you see you. And I'd love to just have a little bit of a reality check right here. Let's take a moment to be humbler together, to look at the person next to you for just a second. I want you to repeat these three phrases after me. Find a pair of eyes. Ready? Find a pair of eyes. Say, you can be a dip.
You can be a dip.
I can be a dip. I can be a dip. Want to be best friends? Okay. So on your outline, when you're dealing with people who are dips, here's what I want you to do, and I'm going very, very practical this morning. Here's your first feeling, but it's not on the PowerPoint, is all dips are created by God. Realize that all dips are created by God. You know Genesis 1:27. God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself, male and female. He created them. And every single one of them, even the most difficult ones to get along with, are created by the hand of God. This is why I tell my kids, you're not allowed to speak bad about anybody, because it's a little bit like spitting in the face of God. You're not allowed to say that. You may have feelings about someone like, ooh, that hurt me, that's different than, you're an idiot, you're a jerk. That's very different. Because God doesn't make idiots, he doesn't make jerks. Now, people may act like that, and that's a different statement, but you have to go, they're created in the image of God. That changes everything, don't you think? Changes everything when we view people through that lens. The other thing is, realize that dips are there to grow you and expand the kingdom. Realize that dips, and I laugh even the fact my wordage here. Realize that dips are there to grow you and expand the kingdom. Oh, this is great. Acts. I forgot all about this. Acts chapter 15, 36. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn there. But if you don't, that's okay too. Most of you are aware of the story in Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. But let me remind us of this incredible interaction that's happening here. Here we go. Timothy joins Paul and Silas. There we go. Right after that, there's my verses. Okay. There's a division over John Mark. Okay? You guys are probably familiar with this, but if you're not, you look at verse 37. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take them with them, the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So Paul's angry at this guy named John Mark. Then the contention became so sharp. I know this doesn't happen in any of your homes, but apparently it happened with the guy who wrote most of the New Testament. The contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. Have you ever done that? You get in a fight with somebody, you're so mad, you just got to leave the room. You got to get out of the way. Okay, has this ever happened? Of course it does. It happens with saints, great saints in the scripture too. Isn't that kind of comforting? Yeah. They parted from one another. And so Barnabas, he stuck with the original plan. He stuck with his buddy. He said, I'm going to take Mark, and we're going to sail to Cyprus. But Paul, verse 40, chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren of the grace of God. Divisions come up with Christians all the time. It's just part of the territory because we're human. In this particular case, do you know what came out of this contention? Do you know what came out of this relationship that I would say they probably looked at each other like, you're a dip, let's just part, okay? Let's just call it a day and get out of each other's way. Remember the point is, realize that dips are there to grow you and expand the kingdom, and that's exactly what happened in this situation. There's this tremendous conflict, and we later learn, actually, if you just want to write this down, in 2 Timothy 4:11, that there was a reconciliation that took place between Paul and John Mark. Paul began to respect John Mark because he began to prove himself. So we later learn that was a reconciliation that took place, which is key to the story as well. But in the middle of the conflict, guess what happened? You know, the enemy loves to have us use the dips in our life to create this conflict that creates this wedge and then pulls us apart forever. And then he just loves to get right in the middle of that and to build and make it go deeper and deeper and deeper until we're just so angry. I mean, some of you may have this in your family, some of this may have you with some friends. I don't know. But it's interesting that in this case, you know, Paul being a godly man, Barnabas being a godly man, encouraging man, they knew they couldn't speak ill of each other, and they didn't. They had a good argument and decided to agree to disagree and go their separate ways. And out of it came not just one missionary team, but two missionary teams. And you know this story because where did Paul, Barnabas and Mark went to Cyprus. And then you know, Paul went on his second missionary journey from here and completely expanded this new sect called Christianity. And I'm just reminded when I read this kind of thing that the enemy loves to take our problems and just stomp on them. And I think about when I stomp on a fire or an ember, what happens to it?
It goes out.
It goes out, yes. But let's say I'm stomping on kind of a bigger block of fire like this. I'm doing it. What happens to the spark?
Spark
spreads. And could cause even more of a fire, right? If I'm stepping on something that's a little bit bigger, yes, if it's a small thing, I put it out. But sometimes if I step on it, the sparks can spread and fly. And I'm convinced that sometimes God wants to work, well, God always, not sometimes, wants to work within our conflicts, with our dips, because he wants to expand the kingdom and he wants to grow us. I mean, the journey from here to heaven is holiness. And it's messy. It's messy. Sometimes it's easy, more times than not, it's difficult, it's messy, it's almost always a challenge. And God uses these kind of people in our life so that we hold up the mirror to ourselves and say, okay, what have I got inside of me? What is this triggering for me? And how can I grow from this? And in this case, for Paul and Barnabas, their contention only worked to expand the kingdom of God in a mighty, mighty way. The third question that you ask upon these dips that come across in our life is this: Lord, what do you want me to learn here? Lord, what do you want me to learn from, you can fill in your own blank. And then the final thing is, say a blessing upon them right then. Say a blessing upon that person or that situation right then. I have the guy who cut me off driving recently. Oh, he was so mad, and I'm not sure where he had to go, but apparently was it more important than where I was going? And he just cut me right off. And Jack, our 10-year-old, like, Mom, does that make you so mad? I go, yeah, but I'm just going to bless him in the name of Jesus. I bless you in the name of Jesus. No, he can't hear me, but I'm screaming at my car. I bless you in the name of Jesus. It's not because I'm holy. I'm ticked, okay? The guy just cut me off. But I'm learning that when there's a sting or a rub, that when I bless it, it takes the sting out of me. Make sense? And some of us walk around with stingers. And Satan loves, he loves it when we keep the stingers inside of us. And some of us, I think, we've got a reasonable, logical cause for the sting. I mean, you know, you may be rubbing up against some people who are legitimately, I want to say jerks, I'm just going to say that word. They legitimately are really, really tough people in your life. And I just want to remind you that it is the enemy's goal for them to get into your skin, my skin. I have a neighbor who has a Doberman Pinscher. I hate the Doberman, but it's not the Doberman's fault. It's the owner's fault. And the owners happen to be Jewish people, non-practicing Jewish people. They cuss, they yell F-bombs at each other in the middle of the night. They are the most angry, unhappy people I've ever known in my whole life. And it is a challenge to live by these. Obviously, it's a great challenge. My kids are seeing how my husband and I handle this challenge pretty much every day of our life because they live near us. They are what I would call dips. I mean, really. I'm like, these are very tough people. They might say that we're dips for all I know. I mean, maybe our kids are too loud. Maybe they're, I don't know what it is. But, you know, they're watching us. And I keep thinking, this couple, is a great opportunity to expand the kingdom for us. But how am I going to do that? I mean, my small little ways, this is a small little ways. If I'm going to bake bread, I'll bring it to their front door. I don't think they've ever said thank you. We sometimes take their trash cans and they've never said thank you. We've done that for 3 years, actually. My kids have taken the trash cans in. And just little things, but I don't say that to do well. There's another time I didn't do well at all. Their dog pooped on our lawn. I was so mad. This is like the fourth time it happened. I took it and threw it over the fence. I did. You know, so just, you know, I assume I'm always doing things well and right. Okay? And then I felt bad and I wanted to go get it, but then the Doberman would have ate me. So I did.
But, you know, I have to often say a blessing upon Nick and upon Stacy. Who are the dips in your life? Who rubs you sometimes? Who can get under your skin? And when is the last time you said, I'm going to bless them in the name of Jesus, even though they deserve my wrath? But I'm not going to give them what they deserve because Jesus doesn't give us what we deserve. Make sense? We'll continue our road trip together. And as our journey continues, we start to find speed bumps. And after that big dip, we come upon another sign. But before we can see it, because it's around the corner, you know, the driver says to you, okay, go ahead, this is what I want you to do. Apparently you're on a tandem bike. I want you to write down what's on your to-do list, okay? So right now, I want you to write down the top three things on your to-do list today, this week, right now. Write down your to-do list. Give me something. Give me a few things just on your outline somewhere. Write down, you know, things that you know you got to get done. I'm sure laundry is going to be on some of our lists. Thanks, Candy.
I actually thought you wanted us to yell them out, but I didn't.
You actually, what did you say? What did you say?
I thought you wanted us to yell them out, but I almost didn't. I'm glad.
Oh, yeah, well, I might go there.
I'd rather do that.
So, task lists are normal. They're good to create. They're good to figure out. Anybody want to talk about what theirs is? Just throw some things out there. Go.
Buy a fall trip. Machine.
Fall trip?
Nice. For a trip.
Oh, packing for a trip. It's never so stressful as right before a trip, right? You know that. What would you say?
Buy a fog machine.
Buy a fog machine.
By Thursday.
By Thursday. Right. Somebody else, give me their task list.
Returns.
Groceries.
Returns. Oh, what a pain. Yeah. Groceries. Yeah, you guys are particularly quiet. Yeah. This little section will be too quiet.
I have a Halloween party now, planning, and I went to Target and yes. Walmart yesterday, and everything's cooked over.
Of course it is.
And so now
how
I have to
they?
Pull everything together.
Right. What do you need?
We can help you out. I don't know yet. I haven't finished
planning. High five. I love that.
Two
for Halloween. I don't know. Great. Yeah, Tesla.
Clean the bathroom.
Clean the bathrooms. Oh, that's a fun job. Yeah, that's a good time. All right, so you get what's happening. So we're in the middle of this, Kenny. Bless you. Thank you so much. We're in the middle of our task list, and I have my own too, believe me. And we come upon this next sign. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to know what's the first thought, as we just talked about what we did, when you read this sign. What's your first thought when you read this sign? Kind of annoying. Somebody else.
Can't get it done if I slow down.
How am I going to get it done if I slow down? Yeah. Am I the only one in this room who struggles with this? No. This is hard. Would you agree this is hard? This is difficult. This is challenging. And yet, do we all long for it? Do we all long to kind of go, I mean, think of, just picture yourself in Hawaii, on a chair, or maybe it's the mountains for you. Put yourself there. And are you like in the moment going, that feels real, that would feel really good right now? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So we want this, but it's so hard. It's a challenge to get there, correct? Okay. I want to read Psalm 46:10 to you. It's one of the most well-known passages of Scripture, and we all know it. It just says, you guys can say it with me, be still and know that I am God. Now, you need to know that the context for this verse, we constantly take it out of its context, but the context is about God being the conqueror of the nation. So the context is actually war, which can sometimes feel like our task list. But there is a war all around us, and a ton of chaos obviously is going on in war. So God, in the middle of it, in the middle of all of it, he says, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I've got this. Remember, I'm the God of the nations. I've got it. Now, his reminder is that in the midst of it, I've got it. But sometimes I think, he doesn't have it. I don't know if you think this. Sometimes I think, I've got it. Thank you, God. And you're not meeting me fast enough. I love the way the Message Bible translates this. I hope, oh good, I did put it on your outline. The Message Bible, read this with me, please. Psalm 46:10 on your outlines. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God above everything. We kind of created this earlier, but what does traffic look like in your world? I wrote some of the things on my list. Kids, spouse, noise, TV, cell phone, sports. Would some of those things be on your list?
Homework.
Home, oh gosh. Hallelujah to homework. Especially when you're in fourth grade. Homework, or sixth or seventh, right? You guys, you can add to that list. Anything else I'm missing?
Bills, clutter.
Yeah. Now, notice that this verse doesn't say, particularly the one on your outline for the Message version, it doesn't say stop traffic. What does it say there?
Step out of it.
Okay? God is smart enough to know we can't stop it. We're not supposed to. It's life. And we need to live life. And we need to be in life. But God says, it's very clear, Step out of it. So remember, when you are dealing with life, only you can create slowing in your life. Only you can. Nobody's going to do this for you. Different ways that I go about that for my own life is setting my alarm in the morning. This morning I set it for 6, and I was able to sit with Jesus for a very short time and then make out with my husband. You want to know why I'm telling you that? Well, Sherry's not going to tell you that.
Yeah, but she's
going to
hear it later.
Let me tell you why I'm saying that. Because even that is for me something that I have to figure out with my husband, because that's such an important part of our marriage, how God set it up. So even that, was it inconvenient? A little bit. I want to sit on the couch. I want to have my coffee. I want to journal. Okay? I did it this morning. Okay? No, I said I didn't. I didn't this morning.
It was about to get a lot more interesting.
The truth is, I did. Okay, anyway. Here's what I want you to know.
Okay.
Here's what I want you to know. We are digressing quickly. Wow.
You said you were going practical.
I was going very practical.
She did.
Yes. I'm no longer a practical communicator.
Combined with the road sign, it's going to get really good.
Yeah. But my brain's sweating right now. Okay. Slowing. I'm going to give you 3 tips to slowing. Ready? And to remember, and I have this on your outline, right? Slowing is inconvenient. Do it anyway. Okay? Slowing is never, ever, ever going to be convenient. You have to plan it. You have to plan it. Do it anyway. That's why I said it's inconvenient. Turn off. Ready for, this might hit some of us in this room. Turn off your people pleaser. In order to slow, some of you, this is going to hit more than others, you have to turn off your people pleaser. I'm sure that's nobody in this room now that I say it, right? We can't be a people pleaser and slow at the same time. The two usually are very inconsistent. So we have to be able to say, okay, no, because when you say, you know, you say yes to someone, you're saying no to something else. Make sense? You say yes, it usually means of saying no to probably often our family, our spouses if you're married, to our kids. And sometimes that's totally appropriate. Other times it's not even remotely appropriate. And God does not want that for our lives, to run on this treadmill of people pleasing. Does this make sense? Because it affects this. It affects it. We will keep running, not treadmill. And we will not be able to slow if that's something that is a need for us. And then be expectant for God to use you as you've listened to him and honored that slowing piece. Be expectant. 2 weeks ago, I was speaking in Raleigh, North Carolina. North Carolina. The people talk like that. They were so enduring. And I'm going for a walk, and I'm intentionally slowing. I had to speak that night, I think at 4. And I needed to prepare. I needed to focus and all that. But I'm learning that if I'm going to speak in front of people or need to be even present with my kids, that's even a better analogy, actually, that I often need to fill my heart with, okay, God, what's your perspective? How are you going to see my kids? How do you see my spouse? And again, I certainly don't do this all the time, but when I do, I'm in my A game. You understand, right? Mm-hmm. So I have my headset on, and I'm listening to some of my favorite praise music. It happens to be Carrie Jobe at the moment. She's singing a song called Revelation. I'm listening to it, and I'm like, tender inside. I'm aware. You know, I'm aware. And so I walk into Lululemon. You guys know Lululemon? Mm-hmm. Hey, workout place. And I get 15% off because I help at a gym. So I'm really excited, even though I have like, I don't know, I'm not even allowed to spend money in the month of October, November, except until December. But I did. So I went in there, and I saw something on sale. I had to have it. So I walk up to the counter, and no one's there. It was like, I don't know, 10:30 in the morning. Very few people were there. I walked up to the counter, and I just strike up this conversation with this girl behind the counter. And she said something like, oh, do you work out locally here? And I said, no, actually, I'm from Southern California. Well, why are you here? Well, I'm here because I'm just going to be talking to some people tonight about something. She said, oh, what do you talk about? So I start telling her a little bit about what I talk about, giving her the elevator pitch of what I do. And then I decided to tell her something that I cannot believe it came out of my mouth. But I said to her, I said, I was a victim of date rape when I was 14 years old, and God lets me share my story with people about how I got healed and didn't keep it a secret, and that makes my heart beat that I can do that and help people use their pain to help other people heal. She looks at me, her eyes turn into saucers, and then immediately begin to swell with tears. And she said, I can't believe you just said that. I'm thinking, I kind of can't either. You know, I mean, just not every day I say that behind the counter. I mean, it's a lot easier with a microphone on for me to say that to people, or maybe just across from the coffee table, but not Lululemon. So, but she looked at me with those watering eyes and said, just yesterday I went to counseling for the very first time because I started having memories from my childhood when I was inappropriately touched. Looked at her and I said, my name's Megan. And she said, I'm Kylie. And I said, Kylie, I'm not sure what made me share that, except that I've been talking to God a lot this morning and asking him for his eyes to see with. And I said, and apparently he wanted me to see with. And then I start getting tender, and she starts getting tender, and I said, I don't know where your journey's going to end up, but I know who holds your journey in the palm of his hand. I know it's kind of not so, but can I pray with my eyes wide open with you right now? Mm-hmm. If you're comfortable, I don't want you to know your work. I don't want to be a freak. That's exactly what I said. And she's probably thinking, you're your And so she said, sure. I didn't, you know, it wasn't obnoxious. We kept moving around a little bit. I just prayed for her life and her story, for God's healing. And I walked away. I thought to myself, what if I didn't slow? Because, you know, I often don't slow. Getting a little better at it. But the slowing thing is so important to us in our daily life. Whether it's a stranger behind Lululemon's countertop, or the lady at the grocery counter who recently told me that her son committed suicide. Or, I mean, you know, people are oozing with pain, and when we slow, we see the pain. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm reminded of. And then we get to just offer whatever God allows us
not a really quick fix, but at least it's empathy. And even more importantly, if I can go just a little bit deeper in the slowing thing, is you know the 3 o'clock hour from hell with your kids during homework time? Okay? 3 to 5 to 6, however long it lasts, get on it right. Then at 10, 11, 12. There are times when I go into that and I feel like a cat like this. And my nails are in it, and I already am anxious as I pick up the kids from school. And God does not want me to go into that time like that. Ever. And because that's me putting my stuff on them. You know what I'm saying? I'm not supposed to do that. And so I'm learning, even before the kids come home, to cover that little room that we do homework in. They're like, I cover it in the name of Jesus. Enemy, you're not allowed to be here. Take a hike, go back to hell where you belong, because this is Jesus' space, so get out, okay? I mean, I'm talking like that. Because I'm learning that if I don't, who will? And if I'm on, you know, hyper steroids and I'm not slow, and I can be like that, you can probably tell, that my kids are not going to do well. And so it doesn't. What this means is the slowing piece is part of what this person is learning, helps my kids go from, you know, 10 to just calm. If I'm there, they're there. They pick up on so much of how we feel. I don't think moms. I mean, they really can follow our emotions. And we lead that tone. We lead that tone. And what I need you to hear me say is, we're going to blow it. We're going to blow it. We're going to yell. We're going to, I mean, maybe not you, but I will blow it and have moments where I yell and where I'm anxious and where I just am not present with them. And in those moments, it's normal to human, and ask for forgiveness. Just, I'm so sorry. I'm feeling anxious today. I've got a lot in my head, and I'm sorry. You're getting some of that. Forgive me. I say this. And can we start over? Can we just start over? Now, I'll have to hug them. There's usually a hug involved in this process. You know what I'm saying? But without that moment, without this, it just can get a little crazy, you know? And to just pay attention to that. And sometimes even with my own husband, just that, you know, the pattern, the routine, and just to remember to pause. Look him in the eye. You know, today my kid got out of the car, and we gave a quick little hug. It was fine, but I thought to myself, I wish I looked him in the eye. And just said, I dig you. Well, I don't know what it does to him, but I know it's planting some kind of seed in him that mom sees me. She sees me. What do you need to slow down in? How could this look in your world? There are slow signs all over the place, particularly in the mountains. But as I shared some of that, what came to your, what surfaced for you? What is God surfacing for you personally? Where do you need to find slowing in your life? And not in a guilt way, this isn't a guilt thing. It's just, okay, God, I'm hearing this. So what's your spirit tell me to do? And would you just write it down? Whatever that is, there's a word, there's a face. If there's a time, maybe it's, I just need to sit with Jesus more. Maybe it's, I need to take more walks. My walk changed my life that day. It was just a great change my life that day, I should say. And potentially Caitlin's life. What might this look like for you? Our journey continues. And now we are pedaling. What time are you guys done here, by the way?
15?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No problem. Side number 3. And then you have small group time, right? Where you talk? Yes or no? Okay.
As a lot.
Okay. Side number 3. If you see this. Oh, this is a fantastic sign, is it? When pedaling a bike or driving a car, this is a really frustrating sign because you're cruising along, thinking you're heading the right direction, and then bam, your journey comes to a complete halt. And there's a lot of scripture that confirms this. I put them in your outline. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man or to a woman, but in the end it leads to death. That's encouraging. Yeah, that's a pick-me-up. Right. I put in my notes, ouch, but true. Number 1, and then this was actually from our
wedding vows. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. He's made everything beautiful in his time. I just skipped from verse 1 and went straight to verse 11. He's made everything. You can underline, you can highlight, you can circle that word. Everything in his time. I think what I'm learning about this is there's my sign, there's my time frame, and there's God's time frame, and they're often completely different. But there's times when we hit dead ends in our life, whether it's our working life, it's our parenting life, it's a relationship, and there's an obvious end to it. And sometimes God just says, enough, I'm going to shut this door for you, because apparently you cannot take the handle yourself and close it. Has this happened to any of you in your life? Okay. Then you understand what I'm saying here. And one of the prayers that I would encourage you to pray that leads to dead ends is this. There are some things that God might be even speaking to you as I talk that say, I need you out of what you're doing. I don't know what it is. Maybe you have too much on your plate. Maybe this could fall into people pleasing. Maybe it's a friendship that is just going down a torrent corner, and it's no longer one that edifies you in the Lord. Maybe it's that. I don't know what it is for you. You know what it is for you if there's something that's kind of on your heart right now. Here's what I would encourage you to pray. Lord, do for me what I can't do for myself. Do for me what I cannot do for myself. Some of you know that I worked at Saddleback Church for almost 10 years. And 4.5 years ago, well, actually 5 years ago, I began to pray, Lord, do for me what I can't do for myself. The ministry that I was running was the most exciting thing I've ever been a part of in my life. I would even put it above being a mom. It was at that time, I did. It was so exciting. It was just taking off across the country. It was being translated in different languages. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm really helping hurting teenagers. And it was so exciting. It was called Life Hurts, God Heals. And I got laid off. I just, overnight, I got laid off. My boss changed overnight. And all of a sudden, I mean, literally, August 25th, I get laid off, and I'm running this ministry that's nationally known, and the next day, I'm literally out of the gym, off of the treadmill, like, and I'm speaking metaphorically here, that I was on this treadmill that was going really fast, like 6.5, and I'm not a fast runner, okay? I was going fast and hard and just long, and all of a sudden, it was like God pushed the stop button, and I literally was off of it. I remember the next day, it was August 26th, and I'm laying by our pool, not to get a tan. I was fully clothed, actually. And I'm not sure where my kids were, because nobody was around, now that I think about it. But they were someplace, and I was able to journal and just process. And I'm like, I can't believe I have no one to lead. I can't believe I'm not preparing for some study. I don't have to take care of anybody. There's no teenagers. I was so sad, so angry, and so at peace all at the same time. It was just this one big ball of confusing feelings that were contrasting each other. But God put a dead end smack in my way. And at the time, I didn't understand it at all. I still don't like the way it was handled, but God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. I think sometimes in our life, God intentionally puts these dead ends smack in front of us as a way of saying, I love you. You can't see what's coming. But I see it. Isaiah 55:8. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than yours. As high as the heavens they are. And I am learning to trust that my brain, you know, studies show we use 10% of our brains. We have a whole nother 90% that's not used. Why? I don't know. That is a mystery to me. But apparently we're going to have a whole full brain in heaven, and we'll be able to see it all. But right now, we just can trust that God sees it all. And at times in our journey, he says, I'm going to stop this. And it may be painful, but I see the whole perspective. And as I say that to you this morning, there are road signs that come up. This is one of them. And I'm curious if you would be willing to consider it as a gift. Maybe not when it comes, or let it ring a bell in your head. I'm going to give you the fourth sign. There's a lot more I can say about that particular sign. But I want you to cling to Ecclesiastes 3:11. as we end with that sign. He makes everything beautiful in his time. I was just thinking of you, you just came to my mind. They were planning a family trip, like across the world again, right, Erica? And all of a sudden, God plants this little seed called a baby in her, and the plans start to go completely awry, obviously. And that little kid is the greatest blessing to that family. I mean, he's just beautiful to be in that little shut being. But now you're planning another trip, and God brings it full circle. But God is in the business. Ooh, this is what some of you need to hear. I just know it. God is in the business of bringing our stories full circle. And if there's something in your life that, I love how the Lord just gave this to me. If there's something in your life that's been a dead end, then you better trust that your Savior is going to bring it full circle for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know what it's going to look like, but He loves the snot out of you. I tell that to my kids, I'm sorry, I just want the youth pastor going on here. But He loves you. You're His beloved, precious child, and you can trust that if the story feels incomplete, it's supposed to be incomplete. That's where it's at today, and God is sovereign enough to bring it full circle and to trust the God who brings things full circle. And He's got a perspective that you just don't have, and that I just don't have. But nothing is wasted, you guys. Nothing is wasted. It's not going to fall by the wayside. You can trust. He has made everything beautiful in his time. This is a sign that I thought was interesting. And that pertains nothing to our talk. Sign number four. Ready? I thought was funny. Sign number four. No U-turn. The irony is... I didn't even know it, but I hear a siren behind me, and I'm like, what in the world? And all of a sudden, I get pulled over for making a U-turn right off the pod. There's a little U-turn thing that's not in a good spot. I actually contested it, and it didn't work. But I pulled an illegal U-turn without even recognizing that I did it. And I was so frustrated with you, and with God. I was just frustrated at the world that I got this ticket that was $300 and some odd. But the thought occurred to me, that do you ever feel like this in your relationship with God? Like you're heading in the wrong direction, and a U-turn is just not allowed? That there's no U-turn? I think at times we can feel like this. It's not an option. And I just want to remind you of the great news. And that is that God allows U-turns all the time. I mean, daily U-turns. Yes, in the big things all the time, for sure. He's God. But also in the small little daily things where we mess up, U-turn, 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 U-turn. I love some of the passages that God brought to my mind. If we confess our sins to Him, He can be depended on to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong turn. That's a U-turn. Romans, and I am convinced that nothing can separate us from His love. Death can't, life can't, the angels can't, the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries for tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what this tells me? That I am not on performance-based acceptance. That I am loved as I am, regardless of what I do or don't do. And that's true for my kids as well. And that nothing can separate me from how much God totally loves me. That's a U-turn. This is love for God. To obey His commands, I'm going to end with this, or His signs. And His commands, and I put signs, are not burdensome. He allows these signs, the dip, the slow, the dead end, the no U-turn, not as to be a burden for us. I mean, you know, this is not a burden thing. You guys know this. You know this. That time that we get to sit with Him, it's not supposed to be a burden. It's supposed to be a gift. This is, I mean, I call this the love letter more than I do the Bible. But it's His love letter. And in it are these incredible love letters to me about life. Remember when you got love letters? Remember the days you got love letters? And you just ate them up inside. I want to remind you that God sees you this morning. He sees the dips in your life. He knows the areas where you are. He allows you to use U-turns. He knows where you're coming upon a dead end. He knows it.
Maybe you're in one right now. Maybe you're going to come upon them. Maybe you just experienced one. A friendship and marriage and relationship and work, whatever it might be. He's so aware. And some of you might need a U-turn even today. And just to be reminded that God allows this crazy, gracious thing called the U-turn in our life. I'm going to read you a little something, and at the end of it, I'm just going to give you a couple minutes of silence and let you kind of process what this might mean for you. But it's called The Road to Life, and you're welcome to shut your eyes if you want to. And just take in the story. It's called The Road to Life, because remember, one journey today. At first, I saw God as my observer, my judge, keeping track of all the things I did wrong so as to know whether I merited heaven or hell when I died. He was out there, sort of like a present. I recognized his picture when I saw it, but I didn't really know him. Later on, when I met Christ, it seems as though life were rather like a bike ride. But it was a tandem bike, and I noticed that Christ was in the back, helping me pedal. I don't know when it was that he suggested that we change places, but it hasn't been the same since. When I had control, I knew the way. It was rather boring, but predictable, and it was the shortest distance between two points. But when he took the lead, I knew delightful long cuts up mountains. He knew them. And through rocky places at this like brick-making neck speeds. And it was all I could do to hang on. And even though it looked like madness, he would turn and say, "Pedal!" I worried and was anxious, and I asked, "Where are you taking me?" He didn't answer. He smiled. And I started to learn to trust. I forgot my boring life and entered into the adventure, and when I'd say, "I'm scared," he'd lean back and touch my hand. I gained love, peace, acceptance, and joy, gifts to take upon my journey, my Lord's and mine, and we're off again. And he said, "Give the gifts away. They're extra baggage, too much weight." So I did. To the people we met, and I found that in giving, I received, and still our burden was light. I didn't trust him at first, in control of my life. I thought he'd wreck it. But he knows bike secrets. He knows how to make it bend, to take sharp corners, knows how to jump to clear high rocks, knows how to fly, to shorten scary passages. And I'm learning to be a little bit quieter and pedal in the strangest places. And I'm beginning to enjoy the view and the cool breeze on my face with my delightful constant companion, Jesus. And when I'm sure I just can't do it anymore, he turns his head, smiles, and says, "Keep on that way." God, I want to thank you for this morning that we do not ride on a single bike, but a tandem one, and you are in front. And you've got us. You see us, you're aware of us. You want to use everything we have gone through, everything we're going through. Nothing's wasted. I thank you for the people in our life who rub us the wrong way. And I say that with a smile. Because they're sharpening us. We're probably sharpening them. I thank you for the U-turns. I thank you for the slowing. And I pray, God, for just my friends who I sit with this morning and got to hang out with this morning, that they would just take a deep breath knowing that you've got them. You really got them. And you certainly have the kids. There's kids, the kids that are represented in this room. You have them. Even right now, your Holy Spirit's big enough to meet with them, to speak to them, breathe life into them. You've got them. And oh, we love you. I'm so grateful for this journey, this road that we're on, called life. In Jesus' name, amen.